comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful planet we call Earth. Thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. I'm delighted you're here, and I'm delighted to be here as well. I think we're going to have a really good time here tonight. You do, of course, realize that you have just stepped into the world of talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. And it is the show where you matter. And I got an email from someone. You know, I say that every night. And I got an email from someone who's a new listener. And who was just curious and said, you always say that this is the show where you matter. So what do you mean by that? What is different about this show as opposed to all the other shows that are out there? Why is it that you can say you matter here? Well, there is a reason, and a lot of reasons. One of them is this. This show is pretty much a group effort. The topics that we discuss, the guests that we have, are pretty much what have been suggested by members of the audience, people who are just like you out there listening, and they send me an email and they say, why don't you check on having this person as a guest? Why don't you check on having that person as a guest? Or this topic or that topic would be interesting. Well, we do that. And so almost, not all, but almost all of the shows are really put together, you know, the ingredients are supplied by you and then the producer and myself mix the ingredients and bake it and serve it up. But it's a group effort. And so you really do matter. Your input really does have an impact here. And we appreciate that. The K-Files e-zine. Now, the K-Files e-zine is our free weekly newsletter, and I encourage you to subscribe to it. It's free, so there's not a reason to not subscribe, and there's certainly no genius in it. So the genius lies in the act of subscribing. You just go to my website, click where it says K-Files, and you can subscribe right there. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to, and it's free. Right now, we don't know. We've been blocked from the five different ways we have to send out the K-Files. And I told you about that last night. So what I did is I took last week's edition and put it up online so you could see it. You can read it online. And all you have to do is just scroll down and you'll see, as you scroll down, you'll see a little article there about K-Files prohibited but online. And there's a link in there in that little paragraph. And if you click that, you can read the K-Files. It may be online again next week. I'm not sure. But one thing I do know is that we're going to produce a K-Files. We'll be back right after this.
Why did it come to this? You touch, your smile, your lips, I miss. When something right fuels your bones, ignites a spark
Join the Kevin Smith Show members area and get it all. For just 23 cents per day, the universe is yours.
Robert Hastings has for decades been researching, investigating, writing, and speaking about UFO incidents involving nuclear missile bases, missile sites, and nuclear air bases. He and Robert Salas are sponsoring a national press conference to attempt to inform members of the media about this very important, are these very important incidents. And a few weeks ago, both Robert Hastings and Robert Salas were my guests here on the show. And I am delighted that Robert Hastings is back with us tonight for this first hour. In the second hour, we'll go open line. Robert, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I'm delighted you're here.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me back.
Robert, some of, you know, when you and Robert Salas were here with me, we talked mainly, well, we talked about some of the incidents, and we talked a little bit about the press conference, but we didn't really get into a whole lot about this press conference. And I want to be sure that we have everybody reading off the same page of music here on what's up and what's going to be taking place, because I think this is an important event that you're sponsoring. First, when is this press conference going to take place?
It's going to be September 27th at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. Mr. Salas, for those of your listeners who don't know his name, is a former Air Force officer, a missile launch officer who was at Malmstrom Air Force Base, Montana, in 1967. Cutting to the chase, he was down in the launch capsule one night when he got a call from one of his security guards saying there was a saucer-shaped object hovering over his launch control facility. Before he had a chance to respond, suddenly his missiles, one after the other, began dropping offline, malfunctioning. Mr. Salas was subsequently sworn to secrecy. He kept that secrecy, that silence, for 30 years, and in the mid-1990s felt that he could no longer keep this a secret. He had to tell the American people. I have been speaking on the college lecture circuit since 1981, trying to inform people about these kinds of incidents, which go back to the 1940s at nuclear weapons-related sites. So the press conference is a culmination of our attempts to bring to the public and the media the reality of the UFO nukes connection, as I call it. We are going to have 8 former Air Force officers who are going to discuss incidents that they were involved in involving UFOs at nuclear weapons sites. Some of the names people will know, some of them will be brand new to almost everyone. But we think this is a dramatically important development in history. Since World War II, the nuclear arms race and the Cold War played a major role in human affairs for decade after decade after decade. And what is now coming to light, in part because of my research, but more importantly, due to the testimony of persons like Mr. Salas and the other officers that will be at the press conference, is the fact that while the Russians and the Americans were threatening each other with nuclear weapons for decades behind the scenes, someone flying highly superior saucer-shaped craft were visiting nuclear weapons sites both here and in the former Soviet Union, and on occasion, not only monitoring these weapons, but on occasion, apparently even tampering with them. This obviously is a world-class story. Washington and Moscow have tried to keep it swept under the rug as long as possible. We simply believe that not only Americans, but people everywhere on the planet need to know the reality of this.
Well, there is another component that occurs to me, and I'd like to get your take on it. You know, during the Cold War, the two principal powers that everyone in the world was concerned about in terms of nuclear weapons was the United States and the Soviet Union. Well, since the Cold War is no longer the Cold War, since that has, if it hasn't gone away, it certainly has changed shape enough that it doesn't appear to be the Cold War as it once did. But since that happened, a lot of people have gotten this idea that somehow the nuclear threat has gone away. Well, none of the nuclear weapons have gone away. I mean, maybe some, but they still have their thousands of nuclear warheads, and we have our thousands. But there's new players on the block now. There's Iran, there's North Korea, there's Pakistan, and there are people who say Israel is a nuclear power, and people who say there isn't. I think there's pretty good evidence they probably are. But there are new players here, they've got nuclear weapons as well. If UFOs were interested in our nuclear weapons, then what we're looking at is more nations that have them. There has to be a heightened interest, I would think, by these UFOs in those nations as well.
I think that's reasonable. It's extremely difficult to get a handle on what has taken place in the United States, let alone around the rest of the world. I have made efforts over the years to make contacts in foreign countries that are nuclear powers to find out what persons, researchers, ex-military people might know about the situation outside of the United States and Russia. And I'm afraid the truth is that I haven't gotten very far. I'm aware of reports from the late 1990s in Pakistan and India of UFO activity near nuclear weapons sites in those countries. They, of course, are arch enemies and have threatened to use nukes against each other now for many years. So I'm aware of reports in those countries. I'm also aware of reports even mentioned in the New York Times, I believe in 2004, of strange aerial objects being sighted near one or another nuclear facilities in Iran. So there are these secondhand reports out there. Unfortunately, I have not been able to make any personal contacts that would allow me to have firsthand testimony, as I do in the case of the United States, where all these people, have eventually come forward. I've had to locate lots of them and entice them to go on the record. Others, like Mr. Salas, of their own volition, feel that this is a secret that needs to be told. And so, you know, it's a real catch-as-catch-can situation, I'm afraid, with lots of gaps in the thread, you know, in the fabric of what's going on. I think the important point that you made in your last statement, beyond any potential issues involving small nuclear powers that might have a few nuclear weapons, the fact remains is that both the U.S. and Russia still have thousands of nuclear weapons. And if one looks at the history of the Cold War, there were at least 20 incidents where, by sheer accident, by human error or other factors, misreading of the situation, either the U.S. or the Soviet Union was prepared to push the button and start World War III. And so even though the relationship between Russia and America is certainly better now than it was during the Cold War, humans are humans, and they make mistakes. And as long as nuclear weapons exist, the potential exists for somebody misreading the situation and starting the next war using nukes. Given the fact that these thousands of weapons still exist, it is an ongoing issue. And, I think the talk about North Korea's nuclear weapon being a threat to the U.S. is hype. Certainly a single nuclear detonation would be horrific in the extreme. But I think the threat from any of these smaller countries, despite the hype and the headlines and what the vested interests might say about the threat from Iran, or et cetera, I think the major threat that still exists in the world is the fact that these thousands of weapons still exist in the hands of the United States and Russia.
We all have seen, any student of history knows, and we have seen, how a peaceful situation between nations can, within 24 hours, develop into a world war. And, the events of, one day we were not at war, and then Pearl Harbor happened, and the next day we were at war. And so, just because there's peace or relative peace between nations today doesn't mean that there's going to be that same condition when you wake up in the morning. It can all change in a matter of minutes. And certainly with all these nuclear weapons, that can be an extremely, extremely serious situation. And it's curious that these UFOs are interested, or at least have exhibited interest, in the nuclear missile sites and then some nuclear air bases. But let me ask you something about the media, because you're doing this press conference. Do you think that the national and international media really don't know? Because they don't report on it. Do you think it's that they don't know, that they're not informed, or do you think that it's they are controlled, or are they just dumb?
All of the above. I've been on the college lecture circuit since 1981. I have talked to hundreds, if not thousands, of reporters at this point in time after this many years. I contact the local media in any given town or city where I'm speaking at a college or a university. And what I found is that the local media, more often than not, are quite receptive to this subject. And when I present declassified documents in my press release and other credible information from former and retired military personnel, I've gotten a fair treatment by local media around the country. That simply is not the case at the national level. And as you pointed out, the national media largely ignores UFOs these days, as they have for decades. And when they do cover the subject, it's usually treated in a humorous or offhanded fashion. They don't cover stories like the type of incidents that Mr. Salas and I are attempting to bring to public attention. Rather, they'll go after UFO cults or persons who make unsubstantiated statements about one thing or another and just sort of lend an illegitimate, not very credible cachet to the topic. So there's definitely a skew in the direction of the ha-ha stories as opposed to the hard-hitting documented stories. Now, Gary Hansen, who is a journalist, has written an excellent book. I've recommended this for years. It's called The Missing Times. The subtitle, I believe, is The Media's Complicity in the UFO Cover-Up. And the book is out of print, but if one can find that, it's one of the best books ever written on this topic. He has spent years nailing down and verifying that since World War II in particular, the U.S. intelligence agencies, in particular the CIA, have routinely coveted or utilized leads, utilized sources, utilized news agencies to get their stories either spun or censored. There have been many, many instances where national security-related subjects were about to be published in one paper or another, or on one news channel or another, and someone behind the scenes got to an editor or a publisher and said, look, you can't go with this story. There were a couple of incidents involving the New York Times that were about to go forward with stories relating to President Kennedy's policy toward Cuba, and those stories, in effect, were killed, and it's a historical well-documented fact now that the New York Times, supposedly the voice for us all, and their job is to keep us all informed, bowed to pressure from an administration to suppress national security-related stories. It's clear from the kinds of cases that Mr. Salas and these other officers are reporting, you have national security as a primary focus or primary aspect of these nuclear weapons cases. You have unknown observers flying highly superior aerial objects, routinely monitoring and occasionally tampering with our strategic weapons. That, of course, is a national security case. And it's quite clear, I think, that the media has chosen to walk away from this particular story and UFOs in general. I suspect that in addition to whatever number of factors are involved other than this, it's certainly there's some behind-the-scenes collusion between intelligence agencies and the national media on the topic of UFOs.
Okay, now that raises a couple of questions. First, in your press conference, you're going to be presenting the testimony of these Air Force officers or Air Force personnel. What about documentation? Do you have some declassified documentation that shows that these events, these incidents did happen?
Absolutely. As I mentioned at the top of the hour, There are declassified documents that Dr. Bruce McAbee, a well-known UFO researcher, pried loose from the FBI back in the late 1970s via the Freedom of Information Act. Among the, I think it was 1,500 pages of FBI documents relating to UFOs that McAbee accessed were a number of them that verified UFO activity at the Los Alamos nuclear weapons lab as early as December of 1948. For those of your listeners not familiar with the name Los Alamos, in 1945, the Los Alamos Labs here in New Mexico invented the atomic bomb. And just a short time later, according to the government's own internal documentation, the birthplace of nuclear weapons was the focal point for UFO activity in the United States at that time. Other documents from the CIA from the 1952 time frame confirm that what the CIA calls the Office of Scientific Intelligence had expressed concern to the director of CIA at the time about repeated UFO incursions at other nuclear weapons sites, including Oak Ridge in Tennessee, which produces both plutonium and uranium, at the Hanford site in Washington, plutonium production site, and other sites that involve nuclear weapons production. So very early on, not long after the end of World War II, the government is talking about saucer-shaped objects flying around repeatedly.
All right, Robert, we have to step away for a break, and we'll be back. We'll pick up right there when we come back. Folks, we shall return. Don't go away. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and my guest, Robert Hastings. Robert, we were talking about this documentation. You know, it's really curious that here we, you know, you've got national media. National media is supposed to, you know, at least part of what they do is investigative reporting. And their position is has been that UFOs are ha-ha, and only loony people really think they've seen UFOs. The official position of the government is quite different from what we hear when they speak to the media, because the official position is in those documents. And so you've got the media, there are the documents, you've got them, Bruce McAbee has them. You got to suspect that the national media has seen these documents as well and have made a conscious choice to lie to the American people about UFOs.
I think that's correct, and we were talking about Terry Hansen, the journalist who wrote the book called The Missing Times.
Yeah.
Just an excellent overview of 50 or 60 years of behind-the-scenes manipulation of the national media by the intelligence communities, community in particular the CIA, to further what are ostensibly national security issues. You know, my point has been, since I began speaking publicly about this in 1981, is if indeed America is democracy, if indeed we are, you know, a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, as is so often touted, the question is whether a small number of people in Washington, in the intelligence community, in the military, have the right, decade after decade, to keep the public in the dark about the UFO reality. Now, I'm an Air Force brat. My dad was in for 20 years. His father was in the Army for 30 years. So I come from a military background, even though that was not my cup of tea. I have this tendency to talk back, you see. In any case, I'm not making anyone out to be the bad guy, but there definitely is a division that's been drawn between the national security state and supposedly the democracy that is America. And if the American people don't have a right to know that their nuclear weapons have been shut down by craft of unknown origin of very obviously superior capability, and if they don't have a right to know that's also been going on the other side of the ocean in Russia, which is now well established, then I don't know what, you know, is worth public attention. This is a major, major paradigm shift story. We, I think, are on the threshold of acknowledging that this planet is being visited by at least one race of beings from somewhere else, whatever else they're up to. And I'm not an expert really in any other aspect of the UFO phenomenon, but I can tell you, having studied this for nearly 40 years, I can tell you that these critters, whoever they are definitely monitoring our and the Russians' nuclear weapons and occasionally tampering with them, interfering with their functionality, in my view, to make a point about the dangers of nuclear weapons. The media can ignore that till the cows come home. Skeptics can laugh about it till, you know, they're red in the face. But the facts remain. The documents exist. Over 120 people that I've interviewed, let alone the other people out there I've never encountered, and other researchers have interviewed, 120 ex-Air Force personnel are now coming forward and saying UFOs on a semi-regular basis appear at our nuclear weapon sites, and on occasion our weapons have malfunctioned when they've been there. That's obviously a front-page story, and if the media doesn't get it for whatever reason, then we just have to work around them. You know, we have to use the Internet. We have to use word of mouth. We have to use Twitter. We as American citizens and citizens of the world have to bypass and go around our governments who are stonewalling and will forever if we let them get away with it forever.
Okay, now, one of the things that you're doing that I think is you're doing it in hopes of sort of breaking this truth embargo with the media is this press conference. Okay, so we have the press conference, and the evidence is laid before the media. The first thing that has to happen is the media have to be there. Do you think they will attend?
The honest answer is we simply don't know. We are going to make every effort to present our information, our case, in a press release in a way that we will entice people to come in and listen to what we have to say. But ultimately, it's out of our hands. All we can do is lay the information out there in a credible fashion and hope for the best. I have already said, you know, depending on the number of people, regardless of the number of people that attend, whether it's 2 or 100, from media organizations, we will subsequently post our material on the Internet and use other ways to get it out. And, you know, if one or two reporters show up, that's part of the story. That's a pretty incriminating indictment about the seriousness of the mass media in the United States. But I'm going to be optimistic and say that we will generate enough interest that we will get a fair hearing on the part of the national media and the international media. Lots of international news organizations have offices in Washington. Certainly, we hope to get this message out not only to the American journalists, but, you know, the media all around the planet.
Well, I predict that media from around the planet will give all of this a much better treatment than the media here in the United States. But I certainly hope that the media here in the United States wakes up and does the right thing here. You know, now let me use an example of a different story and how the media treated it, because I kind of suspect that this is about what will happen. Off the coast of Cuba, years ago, a couple of decades ago, I think, there were researchers that found, using side scan sonar, a massive city under the ocean, including a massive pyramid. And they got very clear images with the side scan sonar. But they also put cameras down and got some photographs. Well, I don't know, 3-4 months ago, I saw a report about this, and I don't know why, after all this time, they're reporting on it now. But a report about this on, and forgive me, I don't remember, it was Fox or CNN or MSNBC, one of the major news, TV news channels. And they used the worst of the side scan sonar pictures. Now, I know it's the worst because I've seen them all. They used the worst picture and then laughed at it. When the fact is, there is absolutely no question. There is a city down there under the water. There's no question. There are clear photographs and clear side scan sonar. But they chose to use the worst of the pictures and then scoff at it and make fun of it. I suspect that's the sort of brainless manure we're going to get from mainstream media here in this country. But I hope that we get something better than that. You know, Robert, figure this. Every news organ in this country is struggling to survive. CBS Radio News, CBS Radio News Network, their advertising dollars for last year were 50% less than the year before. Every single news agency in this country struggling to survive. And it's because nobody in this country believes them anymore. And what do in response to that? They continue giving us Lindsay Lohan and Britney Spears and Rihanna. They continue telling us lies about the rest of the world, and we all know it. And they're going under as a result of it. It makes no sense. It looks like somebody in their marketing department would wake up and say, hey, guys, maybe we ought to start telling the truth.
Well, regarding the event, the press conference that Bob Stalas and I are trying to organize, I think, again, to be redundant here, part of this, you know, if there is no turnout, if there is no interest on the part of the national media after it's heavily publicized through press releases, then that's obviously part of the story, and it is an indictment of the abdication of the responsibility of the national media to inform the American public about very important national security-related matters. If they either laugh this off because their own egos tell them there's nothing to it, or simply are in the pocket of some agency in Washington or another, well, then, you know, regardless of the reason underlying it, if the attention is a yawn, that is an indictment that needs to be publicized from the rooftops all around the Internet. I'm 60 years old, and the Internet is a rather new phenomenon to me. I've been using it for 10 years. But again, you know, I grew up in an era where you had the more traditional media. I think you and I have been discussing one of the drawbacks to the traditional way of reporting news is that there are censors who decide what is or is not going to be covered, and all too often what is pretended to be an objective assessment of reality is really based on biases and preconceptions on the part of news reporters and editors. I mean, that's a fact of life. They're humans, too. At the other end of the spectrum, even though the Internet allows a much broader voice on the part of the average person, there really is no filter in place at this point in time that weeds out persons who are psychologically deranged or are just wholesale liars or persons who really tend to speak before doing any research, which is one of my pet peeves. If one wants to have an opinion about UFOs and post it online, that's fine. But preface your remarks with a statement to the effect that I have never studied this subject, but here's what I think about it, and then say what you're going to say. Don't try to present yourself as an expert on a subject that you know nothing about, whether it's pro or con UFOs. So it's a sticky wicket in a way. You know, there are some drawbacks to where news has gone in recent years, but in my view, the overall thrust of things is such that the Internet holds the promise, at least, for a much more candid dissemination of reality to people everywhere, and in particular UFOs. And, you know, at some point, the emperor is not going to have any clothes, and, you know, the governments are going to say, no, these don't exist, it's all nonsense. And more people around the planet are going to know that those are lies and see through them, and their already shaky grasp on the cover-up is going to be further eroded, in my view.
Well, I agree. From my point of view, the emperor has no clothes now and has been standing like a naked buffoon in the town square for some years. But I think a lot of people are coming to that realization. We have to step away for break. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest is Robert Hastings, and we got about, 10 minutes or so left, and he'll have to leave us. But, Robert, you know, I really, really hope that the national media will respond well to two things. First of all, I hope they respond well in being well represented at this press conference. They all need to send someone to this press conference. And then I hope they respond well by just reporting objectively on what you had to say, what your people had to say. And are you going to do any handouts to them of any of the documentation?
Yeah, Mr. Salas and I are working on a press kit actually at the moment, deciding what should be in it and what should be left out. My hope is that there will be a cross-section of the declassified documents that will be disseminated as part of that. I think it's important not only to hear the testimony from the eyewitnesses, the panel members, but to also see that what they're saying is not are not isolated cases, but again, according to the documents, is part of an ongoing pattern of UFO activity going back to the 1940s and continuing to at least as recently as 2008. I should briefly mention that my website, UFOHastings.com, has a number of articles on it. One of them is called UFO Sightings at ICBM Sites and Nuclear Weapons Storage Areas, long title. But it's basically 23 pages of testimony, eyewitnesses mentioned by name, their rank, their job in the Air Force, what they witnessed, indicating that virtually every nuclear missile base in the United States at one time or another has been repeatedly visited by UFOs. Not only nuclear missile sites, but weapons storage areas. These are bunkers that hold nuclear bombs or missile warheads. There's also a page that's devoted to my book. I have a 600-page book called UFOs and Nukes. I have 600 pages of testimony of people who were entrusted by the U.S. government to either operate or guard weapons of mass destruction, who are now coming forward and saying that UFOs routinely monitor our nuclear weapons. So for those of you who would like a taste of that information, again, the number of articles that I posted will give you a good introduction to the kind of information that I've been privy to, thanks to the courage of these many people, including Mr. Salas, who've decided that, in essence, the American people's right to know is more important than government secrecy on this subject.
And again, at the press conference, you're going to have 8 of these people, right?
Correct. And I might briefly mention a couple of them. Mr. Salas and I believe that Best course of action would not to identify everyone at the moment until the time gets nearer. But I will tell you that one of the people who will attend is Colonel Charles Holt, and many of your listeners will know his name. He was the deputy base commander at the Bentwaters base in England in December of 1980. He's best known for taking a team of security personnel out into Rendlesham Forest to look for UFOs that were reported. And most people know that story. What fewer people know is that right next to Rendlesham Forest was the Bentwaters weapons storage area, which was the largest depository of tactical nuclear weapons in Europe at that time, Western Europe. And I suspect that whoever was flying around Rendlesham Forest was not there to check out the foliage, but rather was there to scope out the nuclear weapons. And in fact, what Colonel Holt will tell the media at the press conferences that he witnessed a disc-shaped UFO sending down laser-like beams of light into or immediately around the perimeter of the weapons storage areas. So again, you have a nuclear weapons connection with one of the most famous UFO cases on record. Another person briefly who will attend the press conference is a man named Bob Jamieson, who was at Malmstrom Air Force Base in 1967. He responded to the missile shutdown that Bob Salas was involved in. And what Jamieson has said is that he got an urgent call to come down to the missile maintenance hangar. He was a targeting officer and was told point blank by the briefers at the hangar that UFOs had messed up a number of nuclear missiles. And he and his team and other teams were sent out to restart them and retarget them. And Mr. Jamieson has said he received detailed instructions about if the teams on the way to the missile site saw UFO, that they were to report it to the base. If they were at the sites bringing up the missiles and retargeting them, and a UFO suddenly appeared, they were ordered to get down into what's called the personnel access hatch to go underground, leaving only their guard outside to report via radio to the base what was going on. So, you know, these were the Air Force people directly involved in these incidents. And they're saying in no uncertain terms, these were UFO-related incidents. And they believe, as I do and Mr. Salas does, that the American people have the right to know the facts.
Well, I think what you're doing with this press conference is not only admirable, I think it's just really, really an important event. I think it's also important for me to highlight the fact that this isn't something new for you. We have been talking about the fact that you've been researching this and investigating this stuff for decades, but I want to highlight that fact, that this isn't something new for you. You haven't just come onto the scene. You've been at this for a long time. You've amassed a great deal of solid information and documentation, and I would have to say you've also accrued a great deal of credibility in the UFO community. As a matter of fact, last year you were awarded the Writer of the Year award by UFO Digest, weren't you?
I was, for the book UFOs and Nukes. Speaking of which, if one goes to that website and searches for the phrase beams of light, you will find my entire chapter available on the website relating to the Rendlesham Forest Bentwaters incident. I've interviewed a number of former and retired Air Force personnel who talk about UFO activity around weapons storage area on base, including Colonel Holt. And I also located and got to go on the record for the first time the two air traffic controllers who were in the tower on base at the time when the UFOs were in the vicinity, who were reporting objects traveling, off the top of my head, I believe the figure was 120 miles in about 8 seconds, this one object covered. And one of the controllers said as it left the base airspace, it did a 90-degree turn. Quite clearly, we're not dealing with aircraft or meteors or lighthouses or any of the other nonsensical explanations that the skeptics have tried to use to explain away the UFO incidents at Rendlesham. But anyway, that entire chapter, Beams of Light, is posted on the UFO Digest website.
Well, I hope you will keep us posted about the progress and ultimate success of this press conference in September. Give us the date again for this press conference.
September 27th at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. If one goes to my website, ufohastings.com, and clicks on the press conference page, you'll see detailed information about that. And, you know, hopefully the media will break its pattern and treat this subject seriously. But I would be happy to come back on after the fact and report to you what did or did not occur.
Well, there is one really bright spot recently in the mass media, in major media, and that's ABC News. They did a report on the UFO sighted over the airport in China. There were no giggles. There was no ridicule. There was no nonsense. They just reported it. And, you know, that's really all anybody wants. Nobody really wants the media to promote our views on things. Just report the news and, you know, get out of the giggle business and just report the news. And ABC did. So maybe that signals something good for this press conference.
Let's hope that's a trend.
Yeah, well, it would, you know, the news agency that breaks out of the this really stupid mindset that they've been in, the one that breaks out first and just gets back to the news is going to see a turnaround in their numbers. They'll see a turnaround in their advertising dollars, and you'd think somebody out there would figure this out. But I hope they do. Robert, I want to thank you for being with us.
My pleasure.
All right. And we'll talk to you down the road. We'll be back, folks, on the other side of this break with Open Line. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are open line in this hour, and that means that we'll talk about whatever you wish to talk about. And, you know, normally we have a guest for the whole show, and you have the opportunity to call in and ask your questions of the guest. But Mr. Hastings had a health issue, and he told me that he could really only do an hour tonight. And so we wish him the best, and we thank him for the hour. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin from Beaverton.
Hi, Kevin.
I was wondering if you've heard of the alien disclosure at Area 51.
I haven't heard. If I've heard of it, I haven't heard of it in those terms. Describe for me what you're talking about.
It's going to be this, I think, six-part series on DVDs, and the first one being about J-Rod, the human ET that was in the Roswell crash. That was in the J-Rod's from the future that had some kind of disease and came back to the past to figure out a cure for it so that he'll be cured in the future.
Who's doing this, do you know?
I'm not exactly sure. It's on this one website.
Mm-hmm.
And
would you send me a link to that website? I would love to take a look at this.
Yeah, because I actually emailed you one last Friday.
Well, unfortunately, you know, we went through that crash. The computer, it was not a crash. The computer was destroyed by forces outside of the studio. And so I lost all of the email. I lost everything. I lost my database of all of the guests and possible guests and everything. Completely had to start over. So if you would send it to me again, I would appreciate it.
Yeah, and when I learned about this, like, I just recently thought about James Horak, how he had that ability to take down some UFOs.
Yes.
And I was thinking that maybe he caused some casualties because supposedly that was, like, one of the reasons why that one UFO over Roswell came about. And I think, like, one of the previous callers from before, like, concluded that maybe he was responsible for taking that down, that particular UFO.
Well, it could be. It could be. But, you know, now you said this is going to be a six-hour DVD set?
A six-part, I think.
Six-part.
Yeah, it's like, and this is just the first one.
Uh-huh. Man, that sounds interesting. Please send me the link.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The telephone numbers are on your screen if you're watching our TV channel in the members area. 623-444-5889 is the main number here in the studio. If you're in the USA or Canada, you can call me on the toll-free number if you need to. It is 888-223-4599. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, I don't have a toll-free number for you. But if you know, if you use Skype and you have they have an account you can set up where you can call any telephone number in the world, cost you like 2 cents per minute. Well, feel free to use that and call our main number, 623-444-5889. Or you, if you're outside of the USA and Canada, feel free to use the flash message feature. If you're in the USA and Canada and you send me a flash message, I don't read it. And the reason is we have telephone numbers for you, and I'll even pay for the call. All right? The members area, see, if you don't call in with your topic, we get to talk about my topic. The members area is something you seriously should consider joining. Now, we've got members that have joined and have written to me and said, hey, you know, I should have done this years ago. I just can't believe what a universe of stuff is here and how good it is. So if you'll click, if you just want to see what's in there, click on my menu where it says Join. Just click that, and you'll the first page you see will have a list of all the stuff that's in the members area, and it will also have comments by people who are members and what they say about it. And but you really ought to join. It's 23 cents a day, and you can't get anything for 23 cents anywhere else. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, Kevin, this is Rusty from Michigan.
Hi, Rusty.
Hi, Kevin. Regarding this news conference, it's in September 20th something.
Yeah, 27th.
Okay. Do you, if the media is going to disclose the UFO thing, do you really think you're going to wait till the 27th to bring it out and give credit to someone who is in the UFO community instead of taking the credit themselves for breaking the story?
Well, that's an interesting question. Interesting question. I don't know how they could get away with saying that they broke a story that the rest of us have been out here talking about for 50 years.
Well, but their thing would be like on mainstream media, so you know, because it doesn't seem like they give shows like yours and others much credence, really, as to the validity of, you know, what you're bringing out. So,
well, yeah, but you know, that's fair. Turnabout's fair play. I don't give them any credence whatsoever.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, that's true, you know, and I can see why, you know, because, like you say, all they do is this celebrity junk and stuff, and what you do bring out is not... but I had one more question.
Mm-hmm.
And, Have you heard any more? I was noticing on the news yesterday they was talking about those three leaks.
Yeah.
One is at the well itself, then several meters, and then one about 3 miles. Have you heard? I didn't hear today of what they decided if those were going to be dangerous, you know, continue to be dangerous or not.
Let me tell you what I read. First, the Coast Guard is saying that those are leaks that are part of other wells and not this one. Okay? Now, that's not very comforting because that means we've got way more problems than we suspected. Okay? The second thing is this Thad Allen, who is the guy at the Coast Guard in charge of all of this, he said, but these are really just little trickles. He said it would be comparable to a little drip of oil coming from your car onto the driveway. Oh, really?
Huh. Well, that's...
Sounds a little bit suspect, doesn't it?
Yeah. Why are they only now coming into the attention of everyone? If they've, from other wells, they've got to be old leaks.
Well, here is part of this whole thing is exactly like what we were talking about with the media and UFOs. Alternative sources have been saying for weeks that the ocean floor is leaking oil in other places. The Coast Guard is just now admitting it.
Huh.
Okay. But that's old news. For weeks, alternative sources, geologists and other types of scientists, have been saying the ocean floor is cracked and it's leaking in other places. And, the mainstream media's position has been these are fear-mongers. Well, now the Coast Guard is admitting it, that is the truth. The question is, these alternative sources have also been saying that there is a massive, massive, massive pocket of methane that is just about ready to explode. Okay? Now, so far, mainstream and the Coast Guard haven't addressed this, but they are now admitting that part of the story is true, and that is that the ocean floor is cracked and that it is leaking oil in other places. Alternative media has been saying that for weeks. Are they going to ever admit this big pocket of methane, or are they going to wait until it explodes to admit it?
I would say explode and act like they didn't know it.
But yeah.
Well, now, could that explosion set off that earthquake on that ridge?
Well, I don't know. And I do not personally have knowledge that there is a pocket of methane. I just know what I've read. Okay, and what other people are saying, and what some geologists are saying.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a geologist, so I don't know the facts on this. But could it set off an earthquake? I guess it could. It would set off a tsunami.
Well, that's true. And another question is, the other oil wells that we have drilled all around this planet in the water, are there leaks from them also on the ocean floor, like near this one?
Well, there could be. One of the reports that I've read said that there are thousands of oil rigs in the Gulf of Mexico. A lot of people think there's just a few. There's thousands. And that most of them are leaking.
Oh. Well, that means all around this planet that probably most of those wells are all leaking, then, if those are all leaking.
Well, I would suspect that they are. I don't know when governments are going to wake up, but they have the technology to get us off of oil, and they have the technology to get us off of oil tomorrow.
Well, yeah, I mean, you've had some you know, just you can read about them, you know, and having you had people on your show that have talked about that alternative technology?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I saw. And just, I don't know, it seems hard to believe that it's just because of money. I mean...
Oh, but it is. It's because of money and power. That is the key.
And I know here in Michigan, where I live, they have doubled the amount of drilling within the last 2 years on land. And I mean, back in the 70s, I mean, there were oil companies all over Michigan here where I live. And now they've doubled their efforts in drilling.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why that is. The price is only $2 a gallon.
Well, there's a lot of money in oil. A lot of money. And, you know, money in this world, there are two things that cause power in this world. Money is one of them. Secrets is another.
Yeah, that's true.
You've heard knowledge is power. It's not. Secrecy is power. Knowledge is freedom.
Now I heard it put it that way.
Yeah, because once you know the secrets, then you're free. They have nothing to hold over you anymore once you know their secrets.
That's true.
So knowledge is not power. Secrecy is power. And the power paradigm is in its death spasms.
So you think that maybe to break this power hold, this new paradigm that's coming in will let us... I don't know. I don't think we'll ever get to the point where governments are going to tell the truth, ever. So maybe this new paradigm will be part of, like, the next world. You can understand what someone else is thinking in a way. I mean, I don't know if I'd want to know everyone's every thought that you're thinking.
Well, in the beginning of the United States of America, the government of the United States of America was only slightly relevant to the daily lives of the citizens. Today, the government dictates just about everything, right down to what color of underwear you wear. So what happens in the knowledge paradigm, as opposed to the secrecy paradigm, is that the government never goes away. It just gets put back in its place. And it's just not as relevant and intrusive to the daily lives of the citizens as it is today. And they don't want that.
I think that would be a good thing. But also, if the United States government goes down, wouldn't that leave someone like China, Russia, or whoever to come up and whatever they say is going to be the ruling authority in the world?
If you don't think that what China says is the ruling authority today, you haven't read the news. China's army, the people they have in uniform, number 200 million.
Wow. That's wadded.
That accounts for every adult living in the United States of America.
Huh. Well, but is that standing army as important as, well, let's go with nukes, like our... you know, our guest was talking about.
We'll never use nukes against them.
Oh, you don't think so?
No. Nah. Think of this. They are allies with Russia. If we ever got into a situation of war with China and used nukes against them, Russia always had far more nuclear missiles aimed at us than we had in existence, aimed at everywhere. They've got thousands more. There is no possibility that we could survive it.
Well, that's true. So you're like with the guest, he was saying that, well, he's... I guess I'm not quite clear. The guest was kind of saying, was he saying that there's no chance that they would set off these nuclear bombs, or that some somebody might make a mistake eventually and set one off.
Well, you might set one off. You're not going to survive it because what's coming back at us is more than we can shoot at them.
Yeah.
So, we don't live in the world that the press has told us we live in. The reality of this world is far different than what you see on CNN, NBC, CBS, ABC, MSNBC, and Fox. The reality of this world is, the real shape of things in this world is far different than what gets presented here in this country.
But I don't get, news media from other countries. I listen to your show and a few others, but most news I get is from this country, and I suspect most other people are, too.
Yeah, that's true. But, you can go on the Internet, and you can go to news agencies in other countries, and, just realize some of those countries don't like America. And so they may say something in a real snide way. But ask yourself, you take the snide out of it and ask yourself, wait a minute, what is it they're reporting here? They're reporting on an event we didn't get told about. Did this happen? And when you start checking, you find out it did happen. So you just strip away their biases. But they will report on events that you never get to hear about. Events worldwide, but also right here in the USA, that you never get to hear about. And you can get on the Internet and find it.
I haven't made a habit of doing that, but... Well, I just wanted to call and, chat a bit, so...
All right, thanks for the call.
Thanks for the chat, yep.
All right. Now, having said, sometimes people hear a drop and they think an ocean, okay? So if you, in anything I said, if your mind jumped to those wild conclusions that I'm anti-American, you're wrong. I'm pro-American, 100% pro-American, as long as we're talking about an America with a Constitution. I'm for it. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming. I just wanted to make one comment that if they do not think oil is based on greed, look up the 1902 Woods Electric Phaeton.
Tell us about it. What is it?
It was the first electric car in America, 1902.
Okay. And it was called the Phaeton?
Phaeton.
Huh.
Good.
And what happened to it?
It got bought out.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we need oil, even if we're not going to use it for fuel for our automobiles and industry and so forth. We need oil, but we don't need to be...
tied to it.
We don't need to be tied to it, and we don't need as much of it as we're pumping right now.
Yeah, it can be. Plastic has a petroleum base, I think.
Yeah, it does.
And what we don't necessarily need plastics, but they are handy.
Mm-hmm. That's true. We don't actually need oil for fuel for heavy industry. I watched a video on YouTube. A couple of guys built a solar, I don't know what you call it, but it's a whole bunch of mirrors, and they're all focused onto one spot. And
I saw that today, and they melted metal with it.
Quick, really quick.
Like less than 2 minutes.
Yeah. And it was steel that they melted. So something like that could be used to create the steam power needed to run any industry. And you'd only have to use a little bit of petroleum fuel as backup on really cloudy days. You could use it to create you could use that solar to cause steam engines to run generators to to power batteries and charge up batteries that you could run off of on cloudy days. So there's more than one way to use the sun.
Here's another one for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know John Bedini, his electric is what he calls it. It's electromagnetic generator, free energy. You combine that with a new kind of fan that came out this year that essentially accelerates the wind to about factor 4 or 5. You blow that into a generator, a wind generator that creates AC current up to as low as 2 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Put that into a wind tunnel. You combine those three, you've got free energy. All you need.
That sounds interesting.
Just put it in a 4-foot diameter PVC conduit, you've got yourself free energy.
Well, as soon as they figure out how to write a 5,000-page tax bill for that, we'll get it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Brent, thanks for the call.
Yep, goodbye.
All right. 623-444-5889. When we come back from this break, we'll take more of your calls. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Let's go straight to the telephone line and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Charlotte from Washington, D.C.
Hello, Charlotte.
Hello. And I was listening to Jerry Wills the other night, and he mentioned the planet that he had been told was Lanulos.
Uh-huh.
Lanulos?
I think that's right, yeah.
Yeah, that was interesting because I've rarely heard that mentioned, and except in Mothman prophecies.
I didn't know it was mentioned there.
Oh, yes. Very prominent.
Yeah?
And a few of the people in that town were supposed to have met people from Lanulos who were human. Woody Durenberger especially was taken there a couple of times. His daughter was selling a book, you know, like a kind of mimeograph Xerox book, which I have. I actually read it. And also I heard tapes of him being interviewed by the by a news station right after his experience, and he sounds absolutely sincere. He's totally baffled by it, but he's just, you know.
And what was his name? Woody what?
Woody Durenberger. Durenberger, I believe.
Okay.
And and there were a couple of other cases sort of footnoted, including one that lives in the University of Maryland, College Park area. And he was working in a restaurant one night and met a gentleman who asked him if he wanted to visit another planet. And he said, sure, just thinking it was a joke. And the guy came in the next week and asked him, and I suppose the student, being adventurous, went along. And it was interesting to me because this is an area pretty close by, and went out to Route 70, Route 40, somewhere around there, a little bit north of here, and got into a kind of egg-shaped craft and was taken to, which he had seen before on the road, actually, when I heard some construction was being done, and was taken there, and, I mean, nothing all that remarkable occurred, which is what makes these things so strange. Why? But he had no reason for making it up because he got nothing but grief for it.
Did he describe what the planet Lanulos was like when he visited?
Much like here, he said the cities were, I think this is Woody's description, the buildings were sort of flat top. There were cities which they called gatherings. They were city-like. There were gatherings of people. There were trains that ran above And this I've heard in other descriptions of other planets, trains that ran above the ground without wheels. But they did seem to glide along a track.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the student did say the people of Lanulos wore no clothes. But they otherwise seemed to be sort of like us. And, yeah, I would have liked more of a description, but I guess they just weren't there that long. But I have not heard... Oh, yes, and also sort of... There was a sort of man in black incident that John Keel describes, in which one of the agents, you know, mysterious people he meets, says, yes, we know about Lanulos. We know, you know, in other words, the whoever is keeping all these secrets. They said, yes, we do know about Lanulos. So, and I tried to find it. It's in the galaxy of Ganymede. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Ganymede.
Okay.
So it's not in this galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the people were, all the people described in the Mothman prophecies as being from that planet were entirely human.
So what's your take on it? What do you think about it?
I was pretty fascinated, but I couldn't find any more information, and I guess I was just trying to figure out what it was all about, to take people to the zillions of light years away to just get a glance at a few buildings and come back.
Mm-hmm.
But I think perhaps that's all they could take in at that moment.
I think that would be a lot for most people. That would be a lot to take in.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
And Woody Derenberger was hounded quite a bit, and he eventually just sort of moved out, he and his family. And his daughter did sort of host a Yahoo discussion group at one point, and I did get a book from her. She was very nice, and sent the tapes of her father, rather CDs of her father's interview.
Do you still have any contact information for her, email address or anything like that?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would you send that to me?
Certainly.
All right. I think that would be an interesting conversation if she'll have it with us.
Yeah. I don't know how accessible she is in that way, but sure. You could always, if she was on the Yahoo group, I would not imagine she would be averse to contact her.
Okay. Yeah, send that to me. I'll check it out.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Sure. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. 623-444-5889 is the number here. It's our main number here in the studio. And if you are outside of the USA or Canada, you can send me a flash message, and I've got some. I'll be getting to those in just a moment. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, it's Mike from Kentucky.
Hi, Mike.
So how's it going with Kevin tonight?
Well, as far as I can tell, everything's okay, and nobody's told me different, so I'll just stick with that.
Good, but if you had your hat on, you'd look better, so there you go.
Well, yeah, but you know, the hat just doesn't go with the tie.
Well, anyway, talking earlier with Rusty about America, and people don't think much of America, and it's not America that people don't like, it's some Americans. Because a lot of Americans, having traveled overseas, you know, you've traveled over there many times, and I've been across a couple of times. But some of the Americans that go over there think they are the cock of the walk, excuse my French, but they walk around with their nose up in the air, and they think they're better than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the other group of Americans that go over there that people just love, and they get along well with them. And especially our government doesn't seem to please too many people. So there you are. But America itself, nobody has a problem with.
Well, that's generally true. There are groups that have a problem with us. Truly, it is because you have freedom of thought, freedom of religion, And they don't want you to have that. They want you to have their religion, their way, or die.
Right.
Okay, and so they hate America because of those freedoms. They view us as the great Satan. And, I mean, we have to be aware that there are some of those out there. But the majority of the world separates Americans from the American government. They like Americans, and if they have problems with any part of it, they have problems with the American government. Are you looking at your screen right now?
Yes, I am.
All right. You see, I've put a hat on. It's not the one I normally wear, but you can't see it because it's too dark.
Right.
See? Now you can. You see that glow coming off of my bald head? I've taken my hat off.
Well, your actions are lagging your conversation. But yes, you know, I don't normally have problems with anybody of any religious, denomination, because I'm open, and I don't condemn them as me being right and them being wrong, or them being wrong. And
yeah, but you have to realize that very quality about you is why some out there want you dead.
Oh, I realize that. Well, they haven't done it yet.
Not yet.
I'm waiting.
Yeah, I'm not. Okay? I'm not waiting. I'm not watching, but I am always alert. And like I say, you know, if you think you can handle it and you want a part of this, just come on over to where I am.
You know, the thing about it, though, Kevin, is we have to have less self-hatred and more self-love, because, and I know that sounds like I'm, you know, saying this wrong, but it's not. If you're at war with yourself, you're at war with the world. So when we learn to have peace within ourselves, it reflects that out to the rest of the world, and they see it.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
But we have to start with ourselves. We can't start with our neighbor. We got to start right where it starts, right here.
Yeah, and very often you've heard me say, the only part of the world you actually control is where your feet are standing.
That's correct, and mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
And I don't worry about them throwing bombs. And what's the worst they can do to us? Kill us? We'll come back.
Yeah. Kind of hard to deal with somebody that won't stay dead.
It is.
Yeah, it is. Mike, right. Thanks for the call, man.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, bye. It is difficult to deal with some guy that won't stay dead. What are you going to threaten him with? We have a flash message from Tony in Australia. He says, hello, Kevin. Have you heard that BP has admitted to the hole in the ocean floor? We are in a lot of trouble now, Kevin, globally. And what are your thoughts on it? Yeah, we've been in a lot of trouble. They're finally admitting certain things that we were told by geologists early on. So they're now getting around to admitting some of this. And we're not in more trouble because they're admitting it. We're not in less trouble either. We're in the same trouble we were in on day one. And, yeah, it's bad. It's really, really, really bad. And unless they can get all of this under control, I will say what I've said from the beginning, and that is this could be an extinction-level event. But I don't think it is yet, but it could be. It certainly has the potential of wiping out hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people in the immediate area. It has that potential. That doesn't mean that I think it's going to happen that way, but it has that potential, and they've got to get this under control. They caused it. They've got to fix it. If they can't fix it, then they need to be tried. Their sentence needs to be that you drive a stake deep, deep into the beach down on the Gulf Coast. You weld a chain to it, and you shackle them to the post. And you toss them a sandwich every day, and they get to live in what they created until they can't live anymore. That's what needs to happen. That is what needs to happen. And that goes for the politicians as well as the executives at BP, as well as anybody in the chain that has hindered in trying to solve this. So I've got a list of people actually in mind. I won't say their names because I don't wish to be sued. But they all should be forced to live in what they have done. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
My name is Jeff, Kevin. I'm calling from Montreal again, and I want to thank you for taking my call.
All right, Jeff. Thanks for calling.
Kevin, you are a true patriot, as all of the boot-looking fans like to call Sean Hannity a true patriot, which he's not, in my opinion, but I consider you a true patriot. A sovereign citizen, or sovereign of the United States, or the Republic of United States of America, and I appreciate what you're trying to do. However, I recognize I can read between the lines too, Kevin, and you're very subtle and you're very good at what you do. But we are under extreme danger right now, in my opinion. The mainstream media is lying to us, as we all have known forever. They've been lying to us. We can't get a straight answer from the government. I totally agree, and I'll leave you with this, with your assertion that the solution to all our problems is not D.C. It's the person that's standing in front of the mirror every morning looking back at you, and probably another higher power above that. And if we could find synchronicity with both of those two entities, we've got a good chance of beating these people. But, and I don't even want to call them people. These are creatures. These are creatures.
Just imagine what would happen. Just imagine now. What would happen in the halls of power if, in one moment, one day, one moment, on one issue, 80% of the population just said, no. No. We're not going for it. Just imagine what would happen.
It would be an amazing, turn of events. I hate to use the word paradigm. I think it's a new age term that is being misused, and it's misguided and very dangerous. I believe in the word faith, and I believe in God too, Kevin. I might as well just say that. I believe in Jesus Christ too, but some people might hate me for that, but that's okay. We are under attack, and we need to wake up. We need to take self-responsibility. We need to be discerning. And you're right, the only thing that we can do is, at this juncture, is to pray and to take responsibility for our own welfare, and stop being distracted by BP, stop being distracted by Lindsay Lohan, and really, really take a moral inventory of ourselves, and because we're in deep trouble here, Kevin.
I agree with everything you've just said.
I wish you a good evening and all your listeners. I love the show, and I'll continue to listen.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Kevin.
Let's go to a flash message. I think we got one in. Yeah, Jeff in Australia. Kevin, everybody thinks that burning oil is a problem. What about all the oxygen that's burned? How is that replaced? The big companies all around the world are deforesting the planet at an alarming rate. I heard that most of the oxygen comes from the sea. With all the oil that's leaking out of the planet, how long before that source is compromised? Good point. Very good point, Jeff. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. This is Tony from Denver.
Hi, Tony.
I wanted to apologize to Jerry for last night.
Why?
Have you went back and listened to the show? He was trying to talk to us after he got cut off. He was saying, what was his exact words? As I was saying, and we interrupted him and didn't let him finish what he was telling me.
Well, didn't you find it interesting where he got cut off? He was just about to tell us what Ingo Swann said to him about Jerry being from somewhere else. And bang, he got cut off. And but, like I said, I'm glad it happened like it did, because you and I were still talking, and we were on the same equipment that he got cut off of. So it's not our equipment. It's he got cut off.
Well, Kevin, I just wanted to say that publicly, and hopefully next time he's on the show, he can finish telling me when we interrupted him.
All right. I'm sure he's probably listening to the show, so I'm sure he heard that. And I thank you for the call.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right. Well, interesting things happen, you know, and we live in an interesting world. We live in interesting times. Can I tell you that freedom begins in your own mind? And do you know where it ends? In your own mind. When you think you're not free, you're not. And one thing that you need to guard very closely is your mind, because that's where freedom is. You know, I said it earlier, knowledge is freedom. It's not power, it's freedom. Secrecy is power. And sometimes people have a secret that they hold over you that gives them power over you. Sometimes they don't have a secret, they just make you believe they do. And at the point where you consider secrets irrelevant, you're free. Someone says, well, I know a secret about you. Yeah, okay, so. You can't blackmail a person that will admit everything they've ever done. I'm not proud of everything I've ever done, but would I admit it? Yeah. You can't blackmail me. That means I'm free. And governments can't blackmail you into submission with secrets as long as you think their secrets are irrelevant. They don't want to tell you, okay, go keep your secret. Bye. Freedom is in knowledge. And I invite you to be free. And that's what this show is all about. You know, we talk about a lot of different topics, and we talk about really what a lot of people think would be really strange, weird stuff on this show. But it's real stuff. And the reason people think it's strange and weird is because they've just never heard it before. There was a time when the idea the earth is round was bizarre, strange, heretical. People were burned at the stake. People were jailed, tortured, and executed for thinking the world was round. That was the most bizarre, devilish idea ever. Or one of them. But guess what? That didn't change the fact the world is round. And knowledge is freedom. Knowledge is freedom. So that's why I have guests on that say things that I might personally have a hard time wrapping my mind around it. I might personally not buy what they're saying, but I want them to say what it is they say. I want you to hear what it is they say so we can ask questions and gain some knowledge and decide for ourselves what we think about what they said. And that is how we get free. That's how it happens. And that's why we do it. Well, tomorrow night's going to be interesting, and I'm not going to tell you who the guest is, but it's going to be a very interesting night. I think anybody who has listened to or watched this show for any length of time knows that when I start telling who's coming up on the shows, we really get attacked. And so it's a surprise, but it'll be a pleasant surprise. You'll love it. It will be a fascinating 2 hours, and you'll get a chance to talk with the guest and ask questions and make comments with the guest. Let me remind you, if you have not become a member at the Kevin Smith Show, you are really, really, really missing out. You really are. I mean, you really are missing out. And it costs 23 cents a day to be a member. The price has not gone up since we started. 23 cents a day. Take that to your local store. See what you can get for 23 cents. Nothing. Now, go to my website. Click on where it says join. And the very first page just shows you what you get for 23 cents. Take a look at that and ask yourself, is that worth 23 cents? I submit it's worth probably a great deal more, but it only costs 23 cents. My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.